ओम नमो भगवते साते मा विनसद्विरा प्रजानां क्षेम
रक्षणा
प्रजानां क्षेम रक्षणा विनस्ते निपते यस्मिन् विनस्ते निपते अश्वर्याम् अवरोहते सते मा विनसद्विरा प्रजानां क्षेम रक्षणा यस्मिन् विनस्ते निपते अश्वर्यादवरोहते spiritual life.
That spiritual life.
By you.
Do not.
Vinasit. Let it be spoiled.
Vira.
O here.
Prajanam.
Of the people.
Shema Dakshin.
Aishwarya.
From opulence.
Avarogati.
Falls down.
Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The sages continue,
and Srila Prabhupada explains that how if one is not religious, then it develops into a godless. He's telling all the brahmanas that I am the Supreme Lord. You are mistaken. You have to worship me because I am the representative of the Lord. So it goes to the stage where the brahmins get very angry and they curse him through the mantras and they kill him. That's a little bit down, about 10 or 12 verses down the track. But here, so they're going. So Srila Prabhupada talks about the monarchy and the democracy governments. Or in other words, you can say the Vedic and the modern governments. We will not dwell on that. Just some salient features to know what it is for our understanding. Because it's a good opportunity to talk. It has come in Srimad Bhagavatam. So let's also know a little bit about that. Now monarchy means the government ruled by a single person, like a king. But the king is a very qualified person to rule. We are going to discuss eventually a few aspects of that. It's a very qualified person. It's not like, you know, just they pick up one person from the street and he rules the government. It's not like that. Very qualified person. Raja Rishi, it is stated. Right? And they rule the kingdom or the empire, whatever you call it. And there is a lineage to follow here. The king who ruling, right, they've got a family tradition. So they successively take over. For example, the father rules and then the son rules. His son rules, you know, like a tradition coming on, down the tradition, which Krishna explains where. Where does Krishna explain that this tradition is being followed? Very good. Spot on. On the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains this phenomena. What does he explain? He says, this knowledge is being passed on from Krishna to Sun God, Vivaswan. And then Vivaswan to his son Manu. Manu to his son Ishvaku. So this knowledge has been continuing. What this knowledge is, I'm not going to tell now. Maybe you have to wait for another 10 or 15 minutes, or maybe 10 minutes, okay? We are going to expand what this knowledge is. If this knowledge is spoken throughout Bhagavad Gita, but what exactly is that? Is expanded in chapter 13. So we are going to discuss a little bit elaborately what that knowledge Krishna explained. It's very elaborately explained in chapter 13. So, this monarchy and democracy, right? And they rule over and are very qualified. Now, what is democracy on the other hand? Democracy means that people elect their own representative through vote system. But the problem here is they may be qualified, they may not be qualified. We don't know. But in the monarchy system, there is a qualification which is coming down the track. But in the case of democracy, we have to gamble. We don't know. The person may be good or he may be bad because they're elected by the representative based on external appearance. For example, the United States president, he was elected based on popularity, the Facebook and all that. But look at his character. He's a president of US. So this is, you have elected him for next 5 years. This, you can't help it, you know, unless, you know, someone pulls him out or something. See, this is the situation of the democracy. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada is making a point, emphasizing that how democracy is these days leading to godless civilization of sense gratification. Srila Prabhupada elsewhere has also mentioned that democracy means demon crazy. Democracy. You know, demons. When demons become, whatever he says, right, full of meaning and very deep as well. So one can meditate on this word, you know. See, I'm also talking like that, but Srila Prabhupada, just he talks like that. That's so much meaning, you know. Demon crazy. Democracy. It is true. Because they are demon and they are crazy. How he said, you know, long time back, and that's applicable now also, you know. So amazing, you know, Srila Prabhupada's words. So what is he saying? Srila Prabhupada says, from the ideal point of religion. Okay, so he says that how, in the case of monarchy, you know, the king rule, there was religion which was followed. But in the case of democracy these days, religion is not being followed. That means people are irreligious. Just to expand on this point, let us talk a little bit, go into Bhagavad Gita. It's a reference point for us. Always better, right? You go back and come back. Go and refer to Bhagavad Gita. Right, Shyam? Because that's a literature given by Krishna himself. So what else can be the best literature for us to discuss? Now, in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which is titled the Divine and the Demoniac Nature. See? Demonic, it came off. Maybe Lord says, okay, you don't deserve it. I'll put it here. So the divine and the demonic natures. Sorry, can you put it somewhere there? Or probably you can tie it or something. The divine and the demonic natures. So in Sanskrit, it's known as Deva Asura Sampada Yoga, according to Baladev Vidyabhush. It's always better we also know the Sanskrit name. What is Sampad? Sampada means wealth. So in that chapter, where it says divine and the demonic nature, Sampada means a wealth. So what do the divine personalities like devotees think? That the wealth is their qualities or the character. In the same way, the demons think that my character is my wealth, which is violence, cheating, arrogance, deceitfulness. They are thinking that's a wealth. So there is a difference based on demons and the devotees, which is brought out in chapter 16. Now, what is that which defines the borderline between devotees and demon? Krishna explains further that devotees are the one who has got faith in the scripture and they follow the scripture. Demons are the one, they do not believe in scriptures and therefore they do not follow. And therefore they become irreligious. So one who follows the scripture is religious, and one who doesn't follow the scripture is irreligious. Therefore, Arjuna therefore asks a question. Does it mean that, you know, I am irreligious? I am not divine? The thought is coming up in Arjuna. So therefore, Krishna answers the question in the next verse. What did he say? He says, Arjuna, you are born of divine qualities. And The point to note there is, everyone is born with their qualities. We can't help it. I am born with certain qualities, you are born. So based on the qualities, one is divided into devotees or demons. Unfortunately, that is what is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Then why someone is born? I am born with some crooked character. For example, Vena is born, yeah, in this scenario, is born as a bad person, crooked personality. Why is he born? This is a subject back times. They used to follow something known as Garbhadana ceremony. That is the union between man and woman. When it happens, they attract pious souls. So the pious souls will be attracted into the womb. And therefore, the child will be good. If you don't follow Garbhadana samskara, then what means? By default, you are attracting demons. Especially in Kali Yuga, what do you expect? All the associates of Lord Shiva will be attracting. Unfortunately, that is how it is. So therefore, in the Vedic system, Garbhadana ceremony is given top priority. Right? So, in Vedas, we have a choice to bring pious and religious souls into our family. And therefore, we will not have any problems in managing them. If we attract devotees, if we attract demons instead of devotees, what will happen? We have to struggle. And they will never change. Unfortunately, that is what is our choice. So this point has been explained in elaborate in the 16th chapter, the divine and the devotees. Now moving further, how do this character, why someone is born, right? You know, there are some bad persons, elements there. They're coming into the womb. And again, they pick up bad habits. And it continues on. Why it is happening? You have to go a little bit deeper. Why? That's because Krishna explains that impressions, previous activities are lodged into your mind or into the consciousness. So therefore, we have to be very careful that we should not do any activity other than Krishna consciousness. Therefore, it's lodged in the head, in the consciousness, chitta. How it is lodged? Due to Krishna explains, Shastras explains, through the three steps. What are the three steps? It's lodged through vritti, samskara and vasana. What is vritti? Vritti is a thought. You'll be going, suddenly you get a thought, oh, I have to do that, I want to drink alcohol. Why it is coming? Why it is coming? Because in a pond, in a scenario is given, where in a pond, suddenly a bubble come up. Have you seen that? In a clear pond when you see, a bubble pops up to the top. Why does it come? Or practically, in our Kali Yuga, this is good, you know. Why does it come up? Because that's how it is created, you know. The material world is like that, you know. Suddenly there may be a thought. And it could be also a result of previous activities lodged in the previous births. So when it comes up, one should not act on that. But what we do is, we trust our mind. And therefore, we act. Right? So when the thought comes up, when we act, what happens? Impression is formed. An impression. And then, what happens? Because the impression is formed, the mind will be saying, go. You last time you drank alcohol, go and drink. You smoke this cigarette, go and buy a nice cigarette. Pops up again. This is samskara. And then what happens? The person does again and again. And then it is like a thick line formed. That is known as vasana, tendency or habit. So the mind is a habit forming machine. And then what happens then? One gets so much habituated, used to this habit, it's impossible life after life after life, he has to go for that object. Therefore, we have to be very clear what we are lodging in our mind. This is known as chitta, consciousness. And we are suffering. We are taking life, birth after birth, suffering. And look at this powerful movement. All these impurities you lodge can be completely wiped off just by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama.
How powerful is this mantra? How powerful is the name of Sri Krishna, introduced by Krishna himself as Lord Chaitanya? Who else can introduce this mantra? If some mundane person introduces that, it may not be effective. It's introduced by the Lord himself as a devotee to practice to clear this. Cheto Darpana Marjanam. It clears. So the mind is clean. So when the mind is clean, just like a pond. When the pond is free, you can see the surface. What is there? Dirt is there, or fish is there. In the same way, when the mind is clear, one is able to see the soul. So what is that soul? Satchitananda is a fragmental part of the Lord, which is eternal, which is full of knowledge, and which is happiness. You don't have to drink coffee or smoke to be happiness. You are already happiness. Just think of that. We have to see a movie to be happy. We have to smoke to be happy. But because it's all this. And once when someone's having this component, you know, the mind is clear, then one can see the soul. Naturally, he'll be happy. Don't want anything. But this is very Brahma Bhuta platform, very high level. One has to practice that. And the easy way to practice in Kali Yuga is becoming a devotee of Krishna. Very simple process. One can practice that. Right? One need not have to go through the very long process of starting from Karma Yoga. From Karma Yoga, you go from Sakama to Nishkama Yoga, full of desires to without desires. And then you have to go to Jnana Yoga, understand that you are not this physical body but mind, and then proceed to intelligence. Understand that yes, there is a difference between body and soul, and then realize Paramatma, and then move forward to Bhagavan. It's like, you know, big steps. But this is a direct process. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, when we're talking about the knowledge, we're going to talk in a minute. In the introduction of the 13th chapter, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that there are three kinds of devotees. Shanista, you know that? Sanista devotee, Parinistita, and Nirapeksha. Three kinds of devotees. Right? The Sanista devotees follow the gradual path. They go through the yoga ladder. Like what? Like from Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, then Bhakti Yoga, which is the topmost of the ladder. It's a yoga, Bhakti Yoga ladder, but they go through that. But the Parinisthita and Nirapeksha, they use the direct path. They become a devotee of Krishna and they go to the topmost very quickly. Everyone can do this. It's not a big job. One can chant, you got a tongue, right? One can chant Krishna's name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Do anyone find it difficult to chant Krishna's name? Not all that. Kirtanam. First is Shravanam. Like all of you have assembled here to listen the stories of Krishna. Why? Because if you hear about Krishna, all the impurities which is lodged in the previous births, in the mind, in the consciousness, all will disappear. This is the beauty of Krishna, hearing Krishna's pastime. All will go away. How it will go away? Again, you have to refer Shastra. Shastra is saying that in the darkness, when someone turns on the light, or in this material world, in the morning, when the light comes on, what happens? The darkness goes, right? Today morning, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, it was dark. But now, you can see the bright sunshine, and therefore the darkness goes away. How the darkness goes away? Sun comes. How it goes away? It goes away. Because sun comes, naturally it goes away. You are not doing anything. Darkness goes away. When the sun comes, darkness goes away. In the same way, when Krishna is lodged, impurities will go away. Ignorance will go away. Because the Lord is situated in the pure goodness. The Lord is not in goodness. Pure goodness. Satchitananda position, Lord. So we can also aim that. But for that we have to come into the mode of goodness, isn't it? So one can go to that level. So coming back into the Parinistha and Nirapeksha, both are pure devotees. But Parinisthita are like us, you and me. We are practicing the principal aspects of Bhakti Yoga, which is hearing and chanting. Whereas Nirapeksha has got no disease, material disease. They are advanced devotees or sannyasi or babajis. They do not follow the Varnashrama Dharma because they are beyond that. But Nirapeksha, they follow the Varnashrama Dharma like you and me. And therefore, we have to follow the primary aspects of Bhakti Yoga, which is Shravanam and Kirtanam. Then, I said that the Lord is giving the knowledge, isn't it? So coming back, this we'll finish off this topic and go back. So here it says, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning religious. So one who follows the Shastra, Vedic scripture is religious, and therefore he is a devotee. One who doesn't follow the Vedic scripture is a demon. And therefore, you know, he doesn't have faith in the Shastra and he is trapped into the sense gratification and he gets lower and lower births. Krishna explains in the 16th chapter. He gets lower and lower birth. It's not that you trust the material energy and suddenly you become a king or a queen. No. Your birth is going to go down without the absence of transcendental knowledge. So we have to be very careful. This birth you may be a human. Next birth may be a tiger and then monkey and all that. It goes away. Finish. Then this is what it is. So it's very, 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 you know, scary platform. Without Krishna conscious, you know, you slide down. It's like a slope, you know. You know how when you're young, you go through the sliding, what do you call that? You go down. The game. You'll be on the top, and then within a minute, you'll be on the bottom. Right? This is what happens if you forget Krishna. Sliding, what do you call that? Whatever you call. But the point is, you're going down without Krishna. That is for sure. So, what is that knowledge? Krishna explains, right? I've given this knowledge to all the great personality, Raja Rishis. Huh? The knowledge. What is that knowledge? So that's expanded in 13th chapter. Right? We just finished now, right? This will be also useful for people who are listening for the Bhakti Shastra exam, which is going to happen on this Sunday. So, you know, it's just an overview for them because it's a Bhakti Shastra exam happening on Sunday for a different section people. And you know, so the Lord explains that knowledge. So initially in the 13th chapter, Arjuna raises 6 questions to Krishna. What are the questions he raises? 6 questions. What are they? What is Prakriti? What is Purusha? What is Kshetram? What is Kshetra Gyan? What is Jnanam? What is name? Simple question, 6, but very effective. So Krishna explains these 6 questions throughout the chapter. We are not going to discuss everything, but just superficially 1 or 2 we expand, right? So everyone know. So what is Prakriti? Prakriti is material nature, pradhan, whatever you call it. So everything is Prakriti. The Lord's illusory energy, that's Prakriti. Now Prakriti has got 3 components. It has got 3 components, which it gives us. One is it gives a body, the body we have got, that is given by Prakriti under the direction of Krishna. It is not given by Krishna. It is given by Krishna in a sense. But Krishna outsources that to material energy. So he's not completely dependent on that. That is why we got the independent nature. It is outsourced to the material energy. And therefore the material energy gives us a body. Not only that, in the body, what is there? There are senses, right? To see, to smell. If the body is a lump matter, then everyone will be Krishna conscious, correct? The body is like this. This does not have eyes. This does not see. This does not eat. Therefore this can surrender to Krishna. Isn't it? So it will be listening to me, see? But we have got senses, eyes, smell, nose, ears. So therefore we will not listen. Senses. Because senses are like venomous snakes. Unless the snakes are controlled by engaging Krishna service, you cannot control senses. It's impossible. You can try. And the mind is another thing which you want to expand. See? How Krishna has given this body. The senses are like snakes, you know, which is always going after sense object. And the mind wants to expand. Where's the question of controlling? It's impossible. Right? So the Prakriti gives three components. One is a body, then the senses, different senses, and the sense devadas, or the demigods who's managing the senses. For example, if I want to see, I should get the support of five or six demigods to see. It's not a joke that you got this body. If I want to lift my hand, five or six demigods have to sanction. This body is like a, you know, mechanism through the life airs. It's not a small thing you got. After 8.4 million species of life, Krishna has given this body. And very happily we enjoy in Australia, forgetting this. Right? Because we want dollars. And therefore we forget this. Because Krishna has made it such that if you go into the illusory energy, you will be trapped. You will forget me. Because it's my own illusory energy. Whoever is not doing devotion service, it will trap them. And we are one of the traps. We have been trapped. Unfortunately. That's why Krishna is explaining this knowledge. We have to be wise enough to do what we want and how we manage our life. Therefore, it is said that spiritual life is nothing but managing material desires. If you can manage material desires, then if you cannot manage material desire, you take a spiritual life. You can manage, and therefore that is spiritual life. Because we are all suffering because of material desires. If you can manage my material desire, then I am spiritual. Isn't it? Okay, so the three components, okay, is their body. Therefore, the body is given with the material energy. But who are we? We are the soul inside the body. So we are not the body, we are not the senses, and we are not the demigods. Managing. It's completely different, managed by outsourced department. So who are we? We are the person inside the body. So you don't have control over the eyes. Right? Then how do you see? Because you have a desire, you see. Because I have a desire. Now I have a desire. I want to go to the movie. Krishna sanctions, go to the movie. Without Paramatma, you cannot even do anything. So every time, that is why our desire, we have to be very careful with the desire, what we want. If I want to go for the movie, Krishna says, yes, I'll fulfill. If I want to come to the temple, yes, fulfill. So it's like a child. Krishna is fulfilling, you know. We have to be very careful with what desire we've got. Slowly manage our desires, you know. And that is Prakriti. Then Purusha, there are two kinds of Purusha. One is a Jiva, which is a tiny fake Purusha. You know, we think that we are the Purusha, but we are fake. Pass on to your eyes and you lose your eyes. Are you Purusha? Someone sticks a knife into your body, you die. Are you Purusha? You are a fake Purusha. Tiny enjoyer, not even worth it. And Krishna is a supreme enjoyer. So everything should be done for the sacrifice of the Lord. There is a desire. The mind will be having a desire that will push the prana air, and it will push and the hands will go up and down like this. It's like a machine. Krishna explains that. This body is a machine consisting of airs. Based on the desire, it will push the prana air and my hands will go up. This is managed by the demigods. Chetra, Chetragya. Again, there are two knowers. Krishna explains. We are a tiny knower. I know only my area, my body. That even not much. I don't know what is going in my stomach now. But Krishna is a supreme enjoyer, supreme knower, who knows all the bodies. Krishna knows what is happening in your mind and in your bodies now, right now. Radha Ballabha knows that. You may think, Radha Ballabha, I'm coming. But he is present, he knows everything. What is happening in your physical body and your mental body. This is how powerful Krishna is. Do not underestimate Krishna. Such a powerful person, impossible to understand him. How powerful is he? He's entered into atoms. He's as big as Mahavishnu. From the top till the bottom, he's covering everything. Such a powerful personality, Krishna. And yet he's a person. He's a lovable person. If you do devotion service, he will reciprocate. This is the power of Krishna. Then Chetra, Chetragya. And then, this is what we want to talk. Jnanam. Krishna explains knowledge here. What is the knowledge? The knowledge here, Krishna gives 20 points. Out of that, two is very important. What is that? That one is a surrender to the Guru. And the other one is devotional service to me, Krishna. He says that very clearly on the Bhagavan aspect. Lord is saying, he's talking, devotional service to Krishna and surrender to Guru. These are the two important things. If you do this, all the 18 will follow. And what is the result of following this? Your character will change. You hear the knowledge is spoken in terms of character. Or, advancedly you can say, or alternatively you can say, if someone is showing very excellent character, that means they have developed in Krishna consciousness. See, Sukadeva Prabhu. Look at his character. How, you know, based on the character, I can say that he is advanced in Krishna consciousness. If a character does not change, that means you are not advancing. So that is why in the 13th chapter, the jnanam is spoken in terms of character. Very, very important. Character will change because after all you are worshipping the Supreme Lord. It has to change. It will change. Otherwise, you're not making any progress. And then the nayam is to understand the jiva and the super soul. The object of the knowledge is to know that not the body, the body, the soul, the super soul, and their connection, that they're eternally present. They're all eternal. They're all coming from Krishna. See, Krishna is eternal. His material energy is also eternal. And we are also eternal. And the relationship, if you know, one will be liberated, Krishna explains. One will not take birth. Because you know, once you know yourself, if you know that you are the soul, will you act on the bodily level? You will not. Isn't it? Someone is smoking, they go to a seminar for 5 hours, they learn that this is bad, in the lungs it forms a cross-linked polymer. Your own smoking is forming and blocking your lungs. Eh? Will they smoke in future? No, they get scared, you know. They will not smoke. In the same way, once you have a knowledge of this 13th chapter, knowing that you are this tiny soul, and then what they do? They act on the soul. And therefore, they'll be liberated. Naturally. This is what Krishna is saying. You upgrade yourself. We are upgrading our kitchen. Eh? We are upgrading our computer. Krishna says, upgrade yourself. Why are you not doing that? So you upgrade from today. I am not the body, but I am a soul. And therefore, you get the benefit. Yes? No? Right? Now, having said this 13th chapter, knowledge, Lord says that if someone is not acting on the knowledge, what happens? The material energy, because they will be getting material disease and they will be attracted in the 14th chapter. So the 14th chapter is like a trap. It is a trap. It binds a living entity. Why? The living entity is tiny. He wants some pleasure from the matter. So he goes and the material energy traps them. And then what happens? Repeated birth and death. So, it is very, very important that we don't get involved. Because, again, the point has been said that the material energy is only one energy, but it gives different forms. All of us, right? Our body is made up of earth, water, fire, air, ether, five. And then mind, intelligence, false ego. But it is made in a different form. Same substance, different forms. And people are carried away. It's just a material form. Therefore, when once she is right, one should not see the external form. One should see the soul and the Paramatma in a person. And therefore, if you see that, then he is advanced. If you look at the physical form, then you are not seeing, you are seeing only Prakriti, material nature, right? So one should be able to see, this is knowledge, to see the soul and the super soul in a person. Then you are advanced. And that knowledge comes by practice of devotion service. It doesn't come like that. It doesn't come 1 minute, oh, I'm seeing the soul and the super soul. No. If someone sees the external form, then you are still in matter. If someone sees the soul and the super soul, then they are advanced in knowledge. And that knowledge comes by constant devotional service. That's what is the meaning of it. Now, why did I explain this is, all the Rajarishis before, like for example, Janak Maharaj, and Dasarath Maharaj, all of them, they had this Rajarishi qualities, where they look at a person as a soul and the super soul, not the external form, which is made up of Prakriti, matter, what is there? Right? They're able to see, and therefore they're advanced in knowledge, and therefore they're able to rule. Instruction, the following scripture. So they're following scriptures in terms of Varnashrama Dharma, and they had this knowledge. So this is what has been emphasized. But Srila Prabhupada makes in that one line that now it has become godless society with sense gratification. The moment you think of the body, you have to enjoy the matter, isn't it? If I think that I'm not the body, I'm not the soul, I have to think I'm the body and therefore I have to enjoy. That's what is happening. No one knows in Kali Yuga that they're the spirit soul. It has tremendously dropped down. In Satya Yuga, they know they are the soul. In Treta Yuga, they know they are the soul. In Dwapara Yuga, they knew that they are the soul. But in Kali Yuga, even Duryodhana's comment, he's got a very high knowledge actually. His mentality is crooked, but he has still got knowledge. But in Kali Yuga, doesn't matter. Everyone is on the bodily platform, unless they practice Krishna conscious. That is the level. What can you expect from a Dell computer, which is 85 years old, you know? It's a computer, you know? This is what our body we got because of our beautiful sadhana in the previous births. So Krishna said, okay, you have interest, become a human being, go to the Kali Yuga. But fortunately, you know, you got Chaitanya's moment. Fortunately for us. Because a old computer, but by someone else is a very good technician, like Srila Prabhupada, he has repaired and has put the new hard drive and all that. And then we are working now. So it's like that. We got this association of this moment. So we should take it up very seriously. Okay. So this is a point I was thinking. And then I was talking initially that how it was a crisis, right? The whole point was the Brahmanas tribe, they had to go to King Vena and advise him because it was a crisis situation. The king is not there. Because the king was not there, they put Vena onto the throne, knowing that he is a tough person, you know, he's a bad person. But they thought he might, you know, change or something. But he did not change. So it's an emergency criteria. They are just worried. What can I do? How should I solve the problem? We have this emergency situation, not only in the Vedic system, but also in the regular democratic life also. We have this, right? Because when I was in India, any time back, it so happened that in a state where I live, Tamil Nadu, there's always a problem for the chief minister, always fight. They change parties, you know, with the money, the vote and all that. Now, suddenly, you know, the central government will dissolve the state assembly. He would have been a chief minister today, and he has to learn the paper to find out that he has been dissolved. And then what happens? Emergency crisis. There won't be CM. And then what happens? The president takes over the rule. President rule declared in Tamil Nadu. President takes over. Emergency crisis. Like that, here also there's emergency crisis. So what can they do? They have to do something, you know. And then later on they're killing and all that. Then they churn the body of King Vena, and there comes Prithu Maharaj and Archie later. The other thing I just wanted to say is this. Okay, I was also thinking of this point. Now this throwing away of the bad government or replacing a bad government is not new to the Vedic life. And we have also seen this example many times in the past. Anyone wants to share some information? Or anyone is my mind reader? What I'm thinking? This is not new. It's been happening many times. We have got excellent examples of this happening in the past, but in a different way, not exactly the same, different variations. King Krishna coming to kill Kamsa. Kamsa was a bad ruler. Right? And Krishna has to come. What did he do? He has to kill Kamsa and put Ugrasena on the throne. Right? So that is an example. Through overthrowing the bad government. And then Pandavas and the Gauravas. Right? The Yudhishthira Maharaj has to be thrown because Duryodhana was a evil king. So what happened? So Krishna has to come and speak Bhagavad Gita and have the Mahabharata war, and therefore Duryodhana was killed and Yudhishthira Maharaj was put on the throne. Again, there's another example, overthrowing a bad government. So the overthrowing a bad government is not a new thing. It is happening in monarchy, which we discussed, and also in the democracy, which I said in my state, you know. So it happens. It's not at all a new thing, you know. So people may think, you know, why did the Brahmin go? Why did they overthrow the government? If the government is bad, it has to be overthrown. It has to be replaced. Because they're the representative. There should be someone to lead the government. Even the so-called leaders now, they are doing something, you know. There should be a leader. Otherwise, if there's no leader, then it will be a problem. But, as Srila Prabhupada mentioned, it has degraded. Just to give an example of degradation, even in Bhaktivinoda Thakur, our Acharya, during his time, the king of Puri, you know, he started misusing the funds. The money which comes from Lord Jagannath's temple, he was misusing that. Can you believe that? This was during Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Thakur's time. The king, he was in charge of the Puri temple. So he was not doing the regular activities properly, and whatever the money, he was sidetracking and putting it and using it for his family. That is, you know. So Bhakti will kill Bhaktivinoda Thakur. See? First of all, he's doing an illegal activity, and on top of that, he's trying to kill the pure. Why they are correct? Because they don't have the knowledge. They are completely in illusion, material energy. And because of the bad leader, what happens? There is a problem in the family. Family will split. No relationship between children and parents. One can leave home at the age of 16. Because the government is giving benefits to the youth, which can never happen in India. So all the, you know, people are waiting. Come on, let me become 16, 18 years. I'll get the money from the government. See? What kind of government is that? An Indian government will say, stick on to your parents. But here, run, go away from your parents. This is the government. Vedic life, see? See, this kind of, because of the bad leader. If the leader is not good or if he's corrupt, the followers will have to have problems. We'll have to have problems. I give you a very practical example. One of a devotee was here a few years ago. He's not here now. He's in India now. I'm not mentioning his name. He's a very, very senior person in a company. He's not an ordinary person. Not a clerk or anything. He's a CFO. Probably you're an accountant, no? You know the position. Chief Financial Officer is next to the Managing Director. A devotee. Right? Now, as you know, any company undergoes restructuring. They move people here and there. And it so happened that he had a trustworthy manager. A manager to look his work. Because he is a top level. He has got some assistant like a manager. Now that manager, he left. Because of restructuring. He left. He left the job and gone. So he wants someone to work under him. So he picked up around the people, whoever is there in the office. He picked up, okay, this guy seems to be good, he's young, smart, externally. Let me try that. So he kept him. And this person, the new guy who picked up, was behaving properly for some time. And he is in finance, okay? So you have to be very careful. The person whom I spoke is a chief financial officer, means he's in charge of the treasury money. Right? All the money will be with him, so you have to be very careful. So this person, he put someone else, a new guy, and the new guy was okay for some time, a few months or whatever. And then our devotee, he never knew that this man is crooked. He started misusing the funds, diverting the funds. Because you get $80,000, $50,000, you know, some miscalculation, misappropriately using the funds. He never knew, because he trusted, no, devotees we trust. And if someone acts, you know, with a bead and all that, we think, oh, we'll help him out. But crooked mentality, like Vena. So it took some time for our devotee, the CFO, to understand that this person is swindling money. He's diverting it to some other area. Okay? And by the time he could realize, the management knew, the board of directors. And they told him, sorry, it's under your management, so you have to leave. A person, a devotee, who's a senior devotee actually, he did not do any mistake. He trusted his assistant. The assistant cheated him. For that, he has to lose the job. Just think of this crisis. What do you think? And the money he was getting is about 200K. Anyone is in this room getting 200K? Anyone? Big money, right? 200K per annum. A big salary, right? But the interesting thing is, this devotee is really a devotee. He was not attached. He thought this is a plan of Krishna. So he took it. Anyway, I have to do something, you know. We don't know, but it's... So, what we learn is, in this time age, is we should be very careful. One, we have to have complete faith in Krishna, so that even in the time of crisis, the crisis, it may look like a crisis, but it will go off very easily, without much difficulty. It's a practical example I'm giving. I'm not making up stories. So it is a real thing, you know, for me. I can understand, if I were in the position, will I act like that? Now this he could do, because as we discussed, Nayam, Jnanam, in the terms of, you know, character building, if one has this knowledge and character, then they will not scoop to any level. Because of the fixed, one is fixed in Krishna consciousness, then one gets the guidance from Krishna and he reacts properly in that situation. He did not go crazy. Other people, right? When someone else, the demons, when they lose a job for 2000K, what they do? Drinking, smoking, oh, I cannot bear it. And already suffering, he'll suffer more. Because they don't have the knowledge. Therefore, this knowledge is very important. This is what Krishna is explaining in the fourth chapter. The knowledge that, what is the knowledge? That Krishna is a Lord. One should always think of him. If you cannot think of Krishna, what you should do? Always think of me. If you cannot think of him, become his devotee. If you cannot become his devotee, what you should do? You should worship him. Worship him. If you cannot worship him, then you offer obeisances to him. This is what you should do. This is a position. This is the more confidential knowledge, the most confidential knowledge. The confidential knowledge is that you are not this body, but spirit soul. The more confidential knowledge is, you are not only soul, but you are not a tiny soul, and you are not an independent soul. You have got a connection with Krishna. You are part of Krishna, and therefore you have to understand super soul. Because you are part of him. Right? If I am part of my parents, I know my parents. Because I cannot be existing. So therefore, when I am part of Krishna, I should know Krishna as a super soul to start with. And this is the more confidential. The most confidential knowledge is understanding Bhagavan and offering full devotional service to him. This is the most confidential knowledge. Of all the knowledge you have got, if you have this knowledge, you don't want any other knowledge. Because all the other knowledge, in a sense, it is ignorance. Because it's only for the body. So this knowledge is for the soul. Okay, so I'll conclude here. So if you've got any questions, comments, quickly go. Okay. Because I could understand that for the last 5 or 6 days, Maharaj was here. And he was very enlightening, you know. I used to hear, you know, in the internet, you know, audio, say, lectures I was listening. So, you know, Maharaj is so intelligent, you know. Very nicely was delivering all the classes. And after that, when you see me on the thing, you may be wondering, what's going on today? It's going to be a boring session. Anyway, so, yes, Prabhu.
You mentioned about karma and sanskar. But it's not necessarily guaranteed that just because you're in karma and sanskar, you get a good soul as your son. Because in our story, King Thanga did the more elaborate karma and sanskar. He actually worshipped Vishnu, and in spite of all that, he got rid of his son.
Good question. Yes. So therefore, Krishna explains in the 18th chapter that there are 5 doyas. You are one of the doyas. What are the 5 doyas? Krishna is gradually revealing his knowledge. Okay. In the 18th chapter, Lord says there are 5 doyas. What are the 5 doyas? One is you as a soul, tiny soul, as reciprocating as Paramatma. Okay. So we can only desire, because the soul is part of Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and the material energy gives you body and the senses. Because you've got a body, and that there's a senses to perform. If I want to see, I should have eyes and I should have the body. Correct? So any activities, that's a good point to raise, also for me also. So anything, when we do any action, you are only 1/5 of the doer. If you pass your exam, you are not doing everything. You are doing only 20%. 80% is given by Prakriti and Krishna. Are we in that mood? Are we in that consciousness? No, we are not. I know. So therefore, we cannot understand that. So according to Krishna, according to the Prakriti, this is a plan. So what can King Anga do? He did only 20%. Every 80% is managed by external factor. And therefore, this is a lesson for all of us to know. Yes, we are only 1/5 of the doer. So tomorrow if you learn a sloka, it is not that I learned a sloka. I learned by Krishna's grace. Because if you say Krishna, all the energies come under him. Because all the energies are coming from him. So if you just include one word Krishna, everything is included. Material energy, spiritual energy, marginal energy, from him. So this is how powerful Radha Pallabha is. So do not underestimate him. Yes, Prabhu, does it explain? Okay, we'll stop here. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki. Nithai Gaura Premanati.